Welcome, everybody, to a Seagull Eagle bonus pod in celebration of the upcoming FA Cup semi-final on Saturday between Crystal Palace and Aston Villa. This is it, a massive moment for the Eagles, 90 minutes away from a potential return to the final and a shot at silverware at last. Neil, how good is this? An FA Cup semi-final, Wembley, potential glory. Are you excited?
Why am I invited to this? Why have I got to be on this bonus pod?
Because we take the rough with the smooth. Unfortunately, your world's pretty rough right now. But you can join in with the enthusiasm that I've got right now for my club and come with me on the journey. How do you feel about that?
Okay, I suppose I signed up for this, didn't I? Are you excited, Andy?
I genuinely am. Obviously, I was at the game, the Bournemouth game, which was dull and awful. However, the overwhelming feeling at the club is excitement right now. I think everybody there, even when I was in the chip shop before the game, having a chat with someone, the one my son was eating chips, we were talking about where we're sitting at Wembley, what time we're getting there, where we're going before, all sorts of conversations that, you know, don't come about often for a Palace fan.
No, it's true, totally true. I can assure, well, actually, have you got any sort of history lesson you could give me?
Whoa, well, I mean, we haven't won it before, Neil, is the thing. And that's quite easy to say because we haven't won much before, apart from the old second division, which would have been the championship. Yeah. We've won that a few times. We've won, I think, you know, we all celebrated heavily because we won a pre-season trophy out in America, which was nice to see my club at 4 o'clock in the morning in America lifting a trophy. No, we haven't won it yet. However, we have come close. An interesting stat, we've appeared in every FA Cup since it was founded in 1905.
Wow.
So we've got a good history with the competition. We were in the semi-finals of the FA Cup for the third time in 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And we're looking to reach the final for the first time since 2015. So our best finish was runner-up in two occasions. The first one was 1989 to the 1990 season.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that, Neil?
I do remember that. Now, I'm going to show my age a little bit here, but no, I remember that. And in all seriousness, that final, well, actually, the semi-final and the final, both of them, both semis and the final, they were just fantastic games. So I remember that one semi-final was Oldham Athletic that had got through.
Oh, we are going back. Wow.
Joe Royal managing Oldham Athletic against Manchester United, and they played that. It even went to a replay, and then Man United got through to the final. But the other semi-final, that was an epic affair. I remember that. Liverpool against Crystal Palace.
Wow. So the actual final was a replay of a 3-3 draw. Then it went to the second game,
yeah,
and Palace lost 1-0.
I mean, if you think about that whole season for Palace, it started horrifically because that was the season where Liverpool previously, like in the league, they'd beaten Crystal Palace 9-0. And I think halfway through the season, Ian Wright, got a broken leg.
Mm.
So was out for some of the season. This was the whole Mark Bright and Ian Wright sort of duo up front that they had at one point.
And Mark Bright is still very much in there with the club. I saw him the other day. He's really involved in the Crystal Palace Foundation and charity work, and he's doing some really good stuff for the club. So, yeah.
So it was a really weird sort of culmination of a season where they started off so terribly. They'd managed to get to an FA Cup semi-final. Everyone thought they were going to lose because it was Liverpool who were on the road to trying to get a double. Well, actually a double-double because they'd won the double the year before. They were in the FA Cup semi-final and were top of the league at the time. So they were like on a crest of a wave. And Palace pulled it out the bag. I remember that, I mean, it was 4-3 to Palace at the end of it with a certain Alan Pardew scoring the winner in extra time. It was,
Which is stuff of folklore in our club.
Oh, I can imagine it is, because I remember as a kid watching it, absolutely amazed. And then, as you're quite right, in the final, the 3-3, well, I think it was 2-2 at full time, and Ian Wright came off the bench because he was just getting fit by then.
Yeah.
Ian Wright, just, oh, what a legend generally in football. But yeah, he came in, scored a goal to get you to extra time, scored another goal to get you ahead, I think. And then someone, was it Mark Hughes, was it? I think scored a second goal, get you to a replay. And then, yeah, unfortunately, 1-0, I think it was.
It was 1-0, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a fantastic number of games to get you to that point. So from my point of view, that's as far as my Crystal Palace FA Cup histories go. But I do remember that being an absolutely fantastic moment in time.
Well, funny enough, the one that I remember very, very well is in the more recent years, 2015-2016 season. Mm. Now, I was, funny enough, I was actually working abroad at the time. I was in a bar in Mallorca on one of my trips, and I managed to watch this game out there with many different Crystal Palace fans in Spain who I didn't know existed out there. And it was a hell of a game. Went through every emotion possible in that game.
I'm sure.
It was obviously 2015, 2016, doesn't sound a long time ago, but it obviously was. It was that long ago, Neil, that Mark Clattenburg was the ref, who most kids these days, including my own, don't even realise he was a referee. They actually think he was the bloke from Gladiators. now, I remember Jason Puncheon's opening goal, and more importantly, Alan Pardew's dad dancing that happened directly after that. It was quite something that Wembley erupted. Jason Puncheon actually came on as a sub, and then minutes later he scored. Alan Pardew then couldn't contain himself and celebrated in this really strange dad dance. Funny enough, there was a camera right next to him, which he kind of played to as well. And 3 minutes later, he regretted it very, very quickly.
Yeah,
I think it was Juan Mata equalised 3 minutes later. And then it went to the agony of extra time. And I just remember the only time I can ever relate to this, don't normally get it with a club, but it's that kind of Euros or World Cup, that gut-wrenching feeling going, I don't want to watch it, but I do want to watch it. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't know if I can cope with this. And he went into extra time. And then it's even a little bit more embarrassing that we didn't win it, because United went down to 10 men. Then pretty much as soon as that happened, Jesse Lingard, do you remember him? Scoring from distance to break our hearts. And I think it was a pretty good goal, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, that was the last time. That's how close we came. Mm. Now, I think the atmosphere this year is going to be epic, right? We've got, like, obviously half and half. The majority of Selhurst Park are going to be there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because you could fit two Selhurst Parks in Wembley. so I think the fans are going to make it a loud occasion. It's going to be loud. And I think the noise will help. I think that we know that our away fans are going to help. There's a dedicated singing section that we put in. Mate, I just can't wait. My boy is beside himself with excitement.
To be honest, I don't know which one's the boy, him or you. You look so excited as well. And to be fair, look, you know, rivalries aside, it's an exciting time to go to Wembley. We know, as an Albion fan, you know, we've been there a couple of times in recent history, never been lucky enough to get through to the final. But so I understand the excitement, and I'm pleased for you in a certain way. I really am. You know, in all honesty, it's a great time to go and just experience it, especially for your boy as well. I think it's going to be great fun.
That's the thing, Neil. And like, I unfortunately am a lifelong Palace fan. I genuinely am. However, I've never actually made it to the new Wembley.
Right.
Because obviously we've only had limited time to do it, and I wasn't in the country at the time last time. So for me, this is a new experience. It's the first time in Wembley, and I wanted to make sure that whatever happened, that Harry, my boy, was there with me to experience this, because whilst he's 12 now, he could be in his 40s or 50s the next time it happens. You just don't know. Or alternatively, it could be in a few weeks' time when the final is. So it's an opportunity of a lifetime, and I have to also keep putting things into perspective in my mind, because, and I'm sure you're probably about to remind me of this, it's not a final, right? No. It is the semi-final. And whilst it is a massive, massive occasion, it's not done yet. We've still got two hurdles to go before that cup is there.
I hate to tell you this, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just alluded to it. Speaking as a word of experience, the semi-final is the worst time to lose a game.
Mm.
And it kills. And the fact that it's at Wembley, I won't get on my soapbox. I hate the fact that they're at Wembley. You know, when we were talking about those old games, the Crystal Palace-Liverpool game from 1990, that was at Villa Park, ironically.
Yeah, they used to pick the
neutral kind grounds.
The neutral, yeah. Big capacity grounds.
Yeah, yeah. And they were great, and it was fantastic. And there's a little bit of talk about hopefully maybe trying to go back to that if possible, because I think that makes the games that when you do get to the final and you do finally get to Wembley, it really makes it ultra, ultra special.
Get it. I guess what it does do, though, is limit the amount of people that get to go and have a day out in Wembley, yep. Right? So as a Palace fan, how many more decades would have to go by until I got my train ticket to Wembley?
Absolutely. I totally understand that. Let's talk about the game then, if that's all right.
Yeah. So let's do it. Well, yeah. For me, it's about handling the pressure, the belief, and the occasion, and whether we are mentally in the right place for that game going into it. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, as we speak, we haven't played Arsenal yet, right? That's where we're at. So I don't know how that's going to play out. As I said in our previous podcast, I'm very much hoping that that game is kind to us, mm-hmm. and that we go into this with some form of momentum, at least not another 5 goals shipped in. That's basically what I'm hoping right now. Villa have been flying high in the league, right?
Yes, they have.
We know that. However, cup football is a different beast. One-off games, anything can happen. I genuinely believe that.
Hey, look, I totally agree. I mean, they don't call it the magic of the FA Cup for nothing, so I totally understand. And let's be honest, really, although Villa are flying, as you said, this isn't like a huge chasm between Crystal Palace and Villa. We're not talking about a League Two side against a Premier League side. We're talking about two teams that are in the top half or the top end. Well, obviously Palace are 12th. But
at the moment.
My point being that there's not this huge chasm, as I said, you know, of form between them, of players of quality. Yes, Villa are playing incredibly well at the moment, but anything is possible. Even I will say that.
Well, funny enough, you should say that because Palace have won 3 of our last 4 meetings against Villa.
Really? I didn't know that.
Actually surprising your face.
That actually is. That's slightly worrying.
Yeah. Including 2 matches already this season.
What? They've done the double on Villa?
We've done 2. We did it in the, I think it was the League Cup, was it?
Oh, okay.
Have to check that one out. But yeah, obviously we beat them right at the end of last year significantly as well at home. So in terms of our internal fear on Villa, it's for me as a Palace fan, it's only the internal fear comes from their recent form and our recent dip, mm-hmm. Not the history or the stats, because the history or the stats actually say that we've got every reason to go at them and get a result. Mm. It's just the recent form and that, you know, if in my head I'm thinking we got done 5-2 by Man City, we got done 5-0 by Newcastle, and then Villa go and beat Newcastle with relative ease.
Yeah.
There is, you know, that's going to be going through their heads, isn't it? So again, it's all about, are they mentally prepared? I believe Glasner has got a winning mentality, right? He's clearly done something right when he's come in. He's a manager in demand. Mm. Other clubs want him.
Yeah.
And I think he will do a good job preparing this team. He's got history of, he won the Europa League.
I was just about to say, you know, he's a cup manager in some respects. Like, he very much plays and looks tactically for those competitions where he thinks he's got a good chance. And you know, in a one-off game at Wembley, I hate to say it, but of course, Palace have got a chance.
I just think is it our day? And we'll find out quite quickly, I think, soon after kickoff, whether it's going to be our day or not. I really, really hope it is, because I don't think that I could deal with going all the way to Wembley and traipsing my boy all the way up there and watching a similar display that I've seen in the last couple of games. So I really hope we turn our game faces on.
So the game is on the Saturday.
It's on the Saturday late kickoff.
Late kickoff. It's like that 5:15 kickoff time that they have for the TV, don't they?
It's on BBC, I believe.
Right, okay. And unlike previous games in the FA Cup, which we were talking about earlier, there's not going to be any replays for this one. It's going to go all the way, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So you could have dreaded penalties.
Well, let's hope it don't go to penalties and Eze tries to right his wrongs, eh? That'd be awful. I'll bring the Benny Hill music on the phone just in case.
Oh, man. If it goes to all the way to penalties, you know, Albion's last trip went all the way to penalties, lost to Man United.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
that feeling of penalty, you know, having to go through that whole game, the ups and the downs, and then having to sit through penalties. I mean, I feel for you if it does. But hey.
At least you get your money's worth.
Well, and the other thing is, if you get to penalties, then you must have played well. Because to not lose to Villa in 90 minutes and 120 minutes, I think you must be playing well in that sense. So I hate to say it, but yeah, no, I wish you luck to a certain point. I do have my little side point, obviously, about European football and Palace are the ones. We just know how this story goes from an Albion fan. You know, if Palace get to the final, oh my God, I'm never going to hear the end of it in this pod. So,
well, if Palace get to the final, there's a potential that obviously the dress rehearsal of going 2-0 up and losing 5-2 could be replayed. Mm-hmm. And we could be trying to get our revenge on Man City, which I'm assuming it probably might go that way. But let's see. I mean, look, either way, potentially Saturday is one for the history books, just yep. like we've just talked about two games, one which was played when I was 4 years old and another one which was played 20 years ago. It will, you know, people will be talking about this game that's played on Saturday in the years to come. And the next time that we sit in this studio and do a podcast, we will know which way that is going to go, one way or the other. Either I will walk in joyful with my Palace scarf above my head in full Palace kit, singing glad all over, or I will be very, very upset, I think, because I've absolutely loved this cup run. I've loved the way that Glasner and the club have taken this cup run so seriously.
Yeah.
Even from the early rounds that we were in, playing a full strength team against, you know, teams from other divisions, QPR and so on. You know, we went in to win this. There was no underestimating the opposition, no room for error.
Yeah.
You could see from the offset, absolutely, we were out for win this. So I really, really do hope that we can create that story. And either way, it's going to be massive. I can't wait. Are you going to be watching it on telly?
I suppose I'll have to now.
Well, for the pod, you will. Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, Palace fans out there, enjoy it, soak it up, and bring the noise to Wembley. We need all the help we can get. And as I say, next time we speak, we could be in the final. Believe it can happen. Eagles!